If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The question we're asking you guys is, what would you prefer? Defensive end, offensive weapon, or trade back? You can go vote now. This is what Mel wrote for the pick for Washington. He said, Stewart's draft stock is hard to predict. As I mentioned earlier, I considered him for Cincinnati at number 17. He comes off the board here 12 spots later, though. It's the same dilemma that GMs will be struggling with on draft night. Stewart has all the talent in the world, speed, explosiveness, power. But he also only had 4.5 sacks over 3 seasons. We just talked about this.
That's right.
That is a red flag. Goes on to say, if an NFL coaching staff can help him put it all together, the upside's immense. I'm betting on Commanders coach Dan Quinn unlocking that potential. Dante Fowler Jr.'s departure in free agency means there is a hole opposite Dorrance Armstrong on the D-line. It is nice, not just that Kiper feels good about the coaching staff, but that I feel confident for once that we can actually groom and develop talent. Like, there was a time for a long time around here where you couldn't draft a guy like Shamar Stewart
right.
and expect to get more
anything.
Out of him
yeah.
or, you know, tap into the sack potential. But I think he's right. With Dan Quinn and Joe Witt and the defensive line group, Ryan Kerrigan, Daryl Tapp among them, I actually think he's right that this is a pretty good coaching staff to try to take an athlete who's got all the starter kit, speed, explosive power, all those things, and then turn them into a stat compiler.
That's the design, right? And you know, that element of player development is something that you see once in a blue moon. Every once in a while, you get a Terry McLaurin, right, who's a third rounder who blossoms and, you know, that I suppose takes advantage of the coaching or whoever's there, but turns into a star. That doesn't happen around here all that often, right? You get guys that either come in with the pedigree and they can already do it, or, you know, it's, I guess it's sort of rare that it would happen. More commonplace, I think, in good programs, and you'd like to think that's what this is now. So you could take someone that's a bit more of a clay mold and turn him into something really, really good. I'd have more confidence in them than, say, the Rivera era.
What's your answer to the poll? You taking an edge, you going weapon, or you trading back?
It's weapon for me. And I know that's probably going to go against type or against the majority of the people. They're going to say edge rusher or trade back. To me, this is a philosophical thing. I look at what happened to Houston this past year, and that's kind of my roadmap. Year one, what Washington just did mirrored them. In fact, superseded them. Year two for Houston was disappointing by every account. They went and added a bunch of pieces, and C.J. Stroud stepped back a little tiny bit. I think that's a schedule thing. It's a league adjustment thing. Defensive coordinator staying up late thing. I want to make things easier in year two than they were even in year one for Jaden Daniels. So I think it's special and wonderful and awesome and all the good things. To me, if Matthew Golden somehow was there, I would go crazy. I think Tet McMillan's going to be gone. I see a lot of variance on where Golden might end up. I've seen him in the 20s at times. If he's there, great. That's what I'd be excited about. But I don't know. To me, one more wide receiver to kind of complement the group that you had instead of going, let's give these touches to Jamison Crowder. I'm trying to make it as easy as possible. I think they've done an awesome job now with trading for Tunsil and sort of improving two spots on that line. I would love one more weapon to help this offense.
I'm going to try to have my cake and eat it too, I think. I'm going to trade back for sure, and that's my answer to this poll, is that at 29, I'm coming back several spots to add picks because I've only got 5, and I'm only picking twice in the top 125, and I'm only picking three times in the top 200. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's just not enough quality football players being added to what is an old team, essentially.
Yep.
I mean, they sign a lot of guys that are on 1 or 2 year deals that are deeper into their career. This is my opportunity to add some youth and some upside. And if I'm just taking two players in the first 3.5 rounds, that does not butter the bread for me. So I'm going to trade back from 29 with an eye on getting an edge, getting a running back, getting a receiver shortly thereafter. So if I can move back from 29 to, say, like 40, and I could pick up two picks in the first 125, I think that would be perfect for me. Because while getting an elite weapon at running back would be cool, you know, if Omarion Hampton, as an example, fell, it would be really hard for me to trade back. I'd probably take him. I don't think he's going to be there. I think Genty and Hampton both come off the board. I think I could probably take Henderson, you know, at 38, 40, wherever I'm picking, after I trade back if I wanted to do that. I may feel like I have to go edge there, and then later I go with Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State or Caleb Johnson from Iowa or, you know, another of the running backs that could go in the second round. But I'd like to get to a point where after I trade back at 29, maybe I trade back one more time at 61. And so it's a quantity over quality thing. But I think that you can get what you want, Danny, the wide receiver that can help, if you draft well in the third round where Terry was. Now, are you better off drafting in the first round? Probably. Although I would say the late first round.
This class is probably going to have three guys going
exactly.
The first round.
And I think late first round for receivers is kind of a dangerous area anyway, if you look at it. Like in the late 20s, I don't know how often those guys end up being the really, really good players. But we've also heard, and it's been a few weeks since we had a draft expert on, but remember, we had a couple of guys on that said the difference in this class between like 20 and 50 is not that substantial. So I think it might actually be the perfect year to be able to trade back at 29, get your receiver, get your running back, get your edge, and just add more overall.
That makes a lot of sense to me, honestly. That's probably the most prudent approach, right? And my view depends on a guy or two falling that I don't know how likely that is. So to me, that would be my 1A, if not even my full-out second choice, because it takes pressure off, in my view, right? When you're sitting there with only a couple of picks and X number of holes, you get a schlub like me, and they don't view it this way. They'll probably, you know, stay, this is what our board said. We stick to the board, best available. But for me, I'm sitting there going, look at the glaring need. Here are the three glaring needs, and I've got three picks to do it. Whereas last year, you could go, here's a bit of a luxury pick. We're going to take Johnny Newton. We don't need it desperately right now this minute, but we're layering, and it's going to come in handy. We got a need at corner, enter Sandwich Toe. We got a need at tight end, potentially, and you know, who knows how that's going to go. But you know what I mean? Instead of saying, I've had free agency, I've got way fewer salary cap dollars to allocate, and I have fires that I have to put out right now, there's less pressure when you've got more picks to do it. You could start taking some of those luxury items.
It's been 6 years, so I'm not even sure that this is, you know, the best way to try to get a feel for what you could get. But Washington traded up to the back end of the first round, if you remember, to get Montez Sweat at pick number 26. And when they did that, they gave up pick 46 and a second round pick the following year. So it was, you know, the equivalent of the pick that they gave up and then 46 and the pick the following year. I don't know how much I'd be interested in something like that on a trade back, in fairness. Like, if I'm trading back, Danny, I want picks this season. Because part of why I'm trading back is, as I said,
I need the right now.
I think it's important to add youth to this team. I have no problem with the veterans that they've signed because I think that, A, it worked last year, and I think this is what Adam Peters kind of wants to do. It elevates your floor, makes it harder to be really bad. But I also think it's the way of the league now, where there's just not as many really good players coming available younger in their career. But I'm not going to trade for, you know, to move down 20 picks this year and add a second rounder next year. This is not about next year for me. Nothing about this offseason has really been about next year, in my opinion. When you go get Deebo Samuel for 1 year, when you bring in Laremy Tunsil the way that they did, the picks that you've given up for Marshawn Lattimore, who's got 2 years left, it's about this coming season.
I agree with you. I mean, the window at least is now-ish, right? In other words, if it's not this year at a premium, maybe it's next year. But the point is, this is all short-term thinking, right? Which is fine because you've got the window now, and Jaden Daniels has already crossed that bar of, yep, it's worth going all in because that dude's awesome.
You can call us at 800-636-1067 like Mo did in Largo. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, bud.
Grant, I don't know if we're simpatico or I've just been listening to you guys so much that now I'm just starting to think like you. Because I'm totally with the trading back twice scenario if the opportunity presents itself. I understand that, yes, we do need another threat at wide receiver, and I'm with you there. But personally, I got my sights set on Ty Felton. And I don't believe we have to go high in the draft to get him. I think he's an exceptional playmaker, great route runner, exceptional hands. I mean, what else do you need from the young man? But we definitely need to address the edge rushing position, but we do need to acquire more picks. Because, like you said, it's an older team, and we need to build some type of foundation of youth for the years moving forward. Thank you, gentlemen.
Appreciate you, buddy. So Ty Felton, for people that don't know, is the wide receiver from Maryland. I watched him a lot this past year. He's fantastic. Had a good pro day. He is the exact type of player I'm talking about. Now, whether he's available, whether the stars align, that I can't tell you. But coming off 96 catches for 1,100 yards, not being in the first or early second round mix, in my opinion, that's exactly what I'm talking about. A player like that, where if you strike gold and develop him, and we're saying we like their staff to develop a little bit better. They added Wes Welker yesterday to the wide receiver room.
They did.
Was going to help them continue to coach these kids up. Like, there are guys like him that you can get who will help your football team in mid to late round two, maybe round three. Another guy I'll tell you that I really, really like is Bashaul Tootin, this running back from Virginia Tech who ran the fastest 40 among all the running backs at the combine. He ran for 1,159 yards and 15 touchdowns this year. This is not a player that is in the first round mix. I don't think there's mocks where he's going early to mid second round. Again, these are just local guys that I watched a lot.
Sure, that you got to see, yeah.
That I think could help them a ton as a non-draft expert. And I know they're going to be available in rounds two and three, so to speak. So I think that's going to be there for them if they need it. And it's why trading back is a perfect solution for me. If they didn't have only five picks, then yeah, stick and get your edge. Stick and get your wideout that's better than Ty Felton. But I think Felton can play in the league for a long time. I think Tootin's going to be a really good back for a long time. And there's several guys like each of them at their positions that are going to be available in the mid-rounds.
The only thing I worried about, if you add extra picks and start layering in a smart way, which we're all talking about, I'm not sure about the Ben Sinnott situation, kind of as my glaring example. I've got veterans that are very dependable, and I've got this veteran-laden team for my window right now. And if I'm trading back for a third-round receiver, like, I need time to develop that guy. Is Noah Brown getting those looks? Is, you know, name that other veteran that's TBD going to get some of those chances instead of him? That's always the hard part about trying to win right now. I mean, the Caps have done it, but most teams have a hard time either kind of walking in the middle of the road between rebuilding and competing at a high level.